We just heard the epistle reading of the Holy Apostle Paul. The Holy Apostle tells us, now is the time of salvation, close at hand, nearer than when we ever expected it to be. And our Lord, with a great voice, speaks to us now, in this period more than ever. With a great voice, he calls out unto us to repent. And he tells us that now our salvation is at hand. We must gird our loins, we must be ready, for the spiritual stadium is opened. The season is at hand, as we heard last night in the services, the season for spiritual struggles. And you've heard before that one of the worst things is indifference. And how the devil, who is a professional in his work, knows how to make small things appear to be big things, and he knows how to make big things appear to be small things. Those things which are more serious become insignificant. Those things which are insignificant become more serious. And in short, he distorts everything. He makes that which is black appear to be white. He makes that which is white appear to be black. And it's mostly because of us, because we see things in their distorted way, since the devil has entered into our thoughts, since we have permitted him to do so. And so things get distorted, and our mind becomes distorted, and we do not have the mindset of Jesus Christ. These are the results of our fallen nature. What does fallen nature mean? Today we are taught, in particular, because today we make commemoration of the fall of Adam from paradise, what fallen nature is. Adam lost his habitation in paradise by means of the fruit. By means of the tree, the thief inhabited paradise. Our Lord comes and heals all that which is broken, because mankind is broken from the time of the fall of Adam. We know very well the story of the temptation which Adam had and Eve had to partake of the tree and to partake of the apple from the tree. Comely to behold and good for eating was the fruit that slew me, we hear in the services of the church. In other words, the devil, who is the father of lies and deception, deceived us by something which appeared to be comely and good for eating. After Adam heard the commandment from our Lord not to partake of the fruit of this tree. And so the devil enticed Eve, and it went from Eve to Adam. And the temptation was that if they partake of this fruit, they will become like God. And they already were like God. They already were made in the image and likeness of God. This is what happens to us. When we have everything in order, when we have all of our blessings, we get confused because the devil does not want us to enjoy those blessings. He camouflages them. He makes it appear like it's nothing really. And sometimes he tempts us with despair, with thoughts of despair. And these are the thoughts which, as we said, he makes certain things which are insignificant appear to be, he makes them blown out of proportion. But for the Christian, there's always hope. And so they disobeyed the Lord who gave them this first commandment, which was a commandment of fasting. They were not to partake. And so being under this spell, this temptation. They thought about it a little more, and they thought about it a little more, and then finally they succumbed to this temptation. They fell, and they partook of this tree. And they felt shame. Adam and Eve noticed their nakedness. You see, we are covered to this day. We are ashamed of our nakedness, whereas we shouldn't really be ashamed, but because of our carnal nature, certainly we are ashamed. Before the fall, there was no shame, because this is what man is. And so they disobeyed, and our Lord, walking in paradise, gave Adam a chance to repent, but Adam put the blame on Eve, who put the blame on the serpent. The same thing again happens to us. We see this parasite, this sickness which is in us, of justification, self-justification, and of blaming others for our own faults. That's an automatic reaction. We don't even think clearly through it. We heard last night in the Evangelii how this is an indication of our deep pride. What do we do with our deep pride? Well, certainly we shouldn't despair because of it, but we should admit that we have deep pride. We should admit that, yes, of course, we have this parasite and this passion of pride which has been handed down to us from the time of the fall of our forefathers. How do we deal with it? For earth art thou, and unto earth shalt thou return. Now, because of our sin, because of this disobedience, Adam was banished from paradise, and death came upon the race of mankind. And not too long from now, our Lord will destroy death, and he will be planted in the earth, but he will be risen, raising up our fallen human nature, bringing it to the heights. And this is basically what it's all about. We have been banished from paradise because of our sin, because of our disobedience. And our fallen nature does not like the word obedience. Our fallen nature will find every possible way to excuse our disobedience. We are fallen, and as such, and as fallen people, we should not trust those thoughts which pull us away from our Lord. Our Holy Fathers have tried in a very succinct way, having great perspicuity and understanding concerning spiritual matters, to convey these messages to us, because they, through their experience, have come to know the results of sin, the bitterness of sin, the shame which comes upon us because of sin, and they have come to know particularly the grace and the light and the life and the freedom, the spiritual freedom which comes to us when we follow the commandments of the Lord. But we have disobeyed, and we have fallen. So it is time for us to get up. This is the reason for this time in particular, this season, this most beautiful season of the year, to get us to start thinking once again soberly, and perhaps not even once again, but for the first time. For the years pass, and hopefully year after year, something more will sink into our hearts. Some type of understanding will come to us to a greater degree. For as we said, our Lord speaks to us now. Now is our salvation at hand. Now things are closer than we ever expected them to be. Our Lord is at the door. He awaits us. As St. Gregory Palama says just a few days ago, our city, he was talking about his metropolis of Thessaloniki, was given over to sin and drunkenness and every manner of polluted sin. And now the time of repentance has come, where people are shedding tears and asking for forgiveness. It shouldn't be such a great contrast, but because of this fallen nature, man is so pulled away from the ways of God. Oftentimes, we even get a little dismayed at the fact that perhaps we feel like we are trying, and yet we get pulled back into our passions again, and we fall by word, or by deed, or by thought. But if we concentrate more on what is most important, and if we really fall on our knees, and if we really call upon the name of the Lord, and if we are patient, He will be patient with us. The time will come of His spiritual overshadowing. All we need to do is to give Him our hearts. My son, give me your heart, says the Lord. The heart needs to be opened. The heart needs to be changed. And truly the grace of God awaits us. We heard also in the gospel reading concerning forgiveness, for this is the Sunday of forgiveness. Forgiveness is very important. In order for us to achieve and to receive the forgiveness of our Lord, we also must forgive. For our Lord sees the way that we act with others, and He deals with us in a commensurate way. And if we continuously call upon Him, He certainly will continuously come to help us. And if you have fallen, get back up, we hear in the scriptures. The problem is, since we have this fallen nature, we have abused God's mercy. For God's mercy is an inextinguishable abyss. And so many times He has come to our aid, so many times He has come to our forgiveness, to grant us forgiveness. And as we read in the sacred anaphora, the divine liturgy, and when we are fallen, thou dost raise us up, and dost not stop doing all things until thou hast led us up into the kingdom which is to come. He reminds us, and He reminds us, and He reminds us. And sometimes we don't like His voice because we are the ones that are distorted. Sometimes we don't like the light because of our deeds, lest our deeds should be exposed. So let us come to. Let us remember that the days are passing, and let us pray that God will grant us the gift of spiritual understanding. Because if we have spiritual understanding, all the little trifling matters, daily matters, all those times when we get pinched because of our silly pride are abolished. They don't mean anything. How can they mean anything when we put ourselves in front of the judgment seat of Christ? How can they really mean anything when we stand before our Lord, when we picture ourselves standing in front of our Lord with no defense for our deeds? And we have left off the heavier matters, the greater matters, for these silly little trifling matters that we get caught up in. It's so important for us, as I've told you before, in order to develop prayer in our hearts, to put ourselves in this position, to stand before the throne of Jesus Christ, before we say our prayers, when we collect our thoughts, we should have the remembrance of death and the remembrance of God's dispensation for us. We will die, but by His death, we are given life. We are given the greatest opportunity ever. We cannot miss out on this greatest opportunity because the results are endless, everlasting. There is no end. the torment of those who are tormented, and there is no end to the joy of those who are saved. And this is why we say once again, may God grant unto us spiritual understanding. May God grant us the depth to understand. May God grant us to dig a little more deeper than our shallow selves permit. And it will be a little bit of work. It will be a little bit of work, but the results are life-giving. Let us know what is best for us. Let us forgive our enemies. Many of us feel as if there is one time or other we have been treated badly or taken in or whatever. But the monk and the Christian does not see things in such a way, because the monk and the Christian sees God's hand in everything. Are we focused on God, or are we focused on ourselves? Are we focused on God, or are we focused on ourselves? We have self-love. We have too much self-love. And this self-love has hurt us greatly. It has distorted our mind because we have cooperated with the evil one who has distorted our mind and our heart. Let us return then. The church has prepared us to come to this point. The Triodium. The first week we remembered the publican and the Pharisee. Let us not forget the sinful and abominable prayer of the Pharisee and the life-saving and soul-saving prayer of the publican. God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Are we Pharisees or are we publicans? We're Pharisees in our thoughts oftentimes. And our prayer should be like the prayer of the publican, because in our actions, oftentimes we've been like the publican. Let us then follow the good example of the good prayer, the heartfelt prayer of the publican. The subsequent week we remembered the prodigal son. Once again, every year we hear the same story of the prodigal son. And this is again because our Lord is telling us, come back, come back, come back. Know what is best for you. Do not live among those horrible thoughts, because you're not going to get anything good from them. As much as you've deluded yourself and you think and you've convinced yourself, take a look at the fruits. Do you have peace in these thoughts? No. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. You shall know them by their fruits, says our Lord. So let us wake up from that delusion and return to our Heavenly Father, who awaits us with open arms. He stretched forth his arms upon the cross, waiting to embrace us, to come back to him. Let us not be like the older brother who complained. What about me? What about me? Can we not see the pride in those words? Can we not see the pride in ourselves finally? Can we not finally come to condemn ourselves and our actions, as opposed to excusing ourselves and our actions? Can we not finally tell ourselves we are deluded? And can we not finally come out of our delusion? How long have we been Christians? How long have we been monastics? How long will we persist in our sinful delusions? The week after that, we remembered the Sunday of the Last Judgment. There will come a time where we will be judged. There is no one here that will not die and leave this life. None of us. All of us will return to the earth from whence we were taken. It's a reality check, reality call. So, forget about patting ourselves on the back. We don't have time for that type of nonsense. We're talking about serious work now, the work of our salvation. And today, we remember now the fall of Adam. As we said, this is what it comes down to. We are fallen. We have fallen away from the bosom of our Heavenly Father, and we must return. And we must forgive. We must forgive from our hearts. If we forgive from our hearts, we are making room in our hearts for our Lord to enter into our hearts. Within the next few days, God willing, we will start to see a little bit of a change in ourselves. But that change will happen only if we remember that prayer of the publican, God be gracious to me, a sinner. The change will happen to us if we have a return like the prodigal son, if we actually return to him. And that change will happen if we have the remembrance of death during these days, the remembrance that we will pass from this life into the next, God willing, from death into life, together with our Savior Jesus Christ, who has raised up our fallen nature. The nature is fallen, but the hope is great, because we have our Lord. He's offered himself to us. This is beyond our comprehension. He's offered himself to us to such a degree that he was obedient unto death, unto the death of the cross, thus teaching us that by means of disobedience, Adam lost his habitation in paradise, and because of our disobedience, we are separated from paradise, we are separated from our God. But by means of our Lord, by means of our participation in the saving Eucharist in a humble manner, not because we have some type of a right to participate, but because by God's mercy, we participate. We should not presumptuously go to receive the holy mysteries in an indifferent manner. But we shall partake with repentance. And if we do not partake, we should condemn ourselves. We should always condemn ourselves as unworthy to participate in the saving Eucharist. And this is what our Lord gives to us now. But he's looking and examining our conscience and looking at our attitude. He's checking to see if there's room for us to be illumined and to be enlightened. And rest assured, these are not my words, but the words of all the Holy Fathers. If we get stuck in all those things that I've mentioned now, patting ourselves on the back and feeling as if we've been wronged or whatever, and persisting in our own delusions, there's no one at fault except for ourselves for not receiving the grace of illumination. What do we do then? Let us rejoice in this period, because this period is God's gift to us. Knowing all of these delusions and all these sins that we have, the Church has given unto us, this time for our return to our Lord. Let us take advantage of this time. Yisihia, quiet. Remember that the soul becomes purified through quiet, through prayer, through fasting. These things can become an invincible sword against the power of the enemy. If we take delight in the time of the fast and understand the profit that we receive from the fast, then our attitude is right. If we fall on our knees and say, God, please help me to understand how far away I am from you, and please bring me closer to you, he's not going to close up his ears. He's going to work with us in the way that he knows best. God is perfect. We are imperfect. We cannot tell God how to do his work. He will come at the appropriate time. We need to be tested a little bit, because when a gift is given to somebody without the preparation to receive the gift, it can become a disaster for that person. God knows what we can handle. So now let us take advantage, my beloved, of this holy time. Let us fall on our knees, beseeching our Lord for grace and help. Let us ask Him to give us the strength to complete the remaining time of our life in peace and repentance. Let us turn away from our silly delusions. And let us ask Him to grant us the spiritual knowledge and discernment which is needed for us to complete the course of this holy fast, to make the best of this holy time. And our Lord certainly will come to our aid. Let us be aware that we have an enemy, the evil one, as he enticed and tempted Eve and Adam. He's not going to stop. He will continue to tempt us. This is the reality. So we cannot be indifferent to that, and we must understand that the only way for us to overcome is to turn to our Lord, to turn to His Holy Mother, to turn to our patron, St. John, our patron saints, our guardian angels, the holy archangels. And let us not persist in our continuous self-justification. Let us learn how to say ευλόγησον, and let us learn to take delight in the correction of our Lord. For if we are not sons, He will not deal with us by chastising us. The corrective measures which our Lord sends to us are because He loves us, but because we, as we said, are distorted, and because we have unfortunately accepted the demons into our hearts, we don't see love as love, because we have our own self-love. Let us stand with fear of God and pray, especially this day, that our Lord will grant us the ability to forgive all men from our hearts and to make a new beginning once again, sending up glorification, repentance, adoration to our most loving and most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to the endless ages of ages, rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord. Amen.